This is a podcast where you don't have to be perfect. You can be happy. Make your day count. Encouraging, uplifting, and full of joy. You're worth more than you think. This is entirely unconventional, and I'm Lindsay Roberts. I pray for something miraculous to happen to you today. Hi, everybody. I'm Lindsay Roberts. Thank you for joining me here on Entirely Unconventional. You know, if you've got a podcast named Entirely Unconventional, something's going to be unconventional. And today I want to talk to you about something that I have been studying, listening to, and kind of just chewing on. You know, the Bible says in God's law, does he meditate day and night? Meditate actually means to mutter, to roll it over, and to just kind of really concentrate on it. Well, that's what I've been doing about a word. And I want to toss the word your way and get your thoughts and really provoke your spiritual thinking on the word dominion. If you look at the verse in Genesis 1:26 through 31, God said, okay, right there, that's kind of where we're going to start. You know, I've heard a lot of opinions about taking dominion, about prosperity. Are you part of that healing camp? Okay. Of course, I've been told that like a million times. Well, maybe not a million, maybe more, maybe a little less, but many times, healing camp. Well, when you're sarcastically asking somebody, are you part of that healing camp? Would you rather that they were part of the sickness and disease camp? Are you part of that prosperity camp? You know, that means a successful journey on the road of life. So what do you want to be on the camp of an unsuccessful journey on your road of life? So I was looking at the word dominion and getting some of the same unusual, wasn't that nice of me to use the word unusual? Some of these unusual comments, are you part of that dominion camp? I'm part of the scriptural camp. And God said, not people's opinion, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over the creeping things that creepeth on the earth. And then it goes on, and it talks about having rule or dominion in several other areas, and I'll get to those in just a minute, but I want to give you the dictionary definition of the word dominion, because I think it's really important to see what God says, to see what the world says. Of course, God's my final authority, but they're kind of the same. It means sovereignty, control, take dominion, take authority. It also means take the territory. I mean, when God tells you this, it's the right to rule or to determine. So many times we've seen people do what I consider to be, let's just say, interpret the rule of law, perhaps change the rule of law, perhaps tweak the rule of law. But in our government, the rule of law is the rule of law. It's supposed to stay that way. Well, to me, the highest authority that exists in a Christian's life is scriptural authority. And when God's rule of law says, take dominion, you have a right to govern or rule or to determine. Power implies possession or ability to wield authority or influence. Okay, so if we're doing that, and that was taken from dominion from the Merriam-Webster dictionary, and I was, of course, online doing that. What does dominion mean? God wants to grant people dominion over other animals was in Genesis. Okay, so then I left Genesis and I started looking up other things. And if you get to the place where Jesus was talking about even power and authority, because those are all synonymous with dominion, if you go to the 25th chapter of the book of John, it talks about Jesus having this very, very poignant conversation with his Father God. And in this conversation, he was saying, I've done what you sent me here to do. My time on earth is about to come to an end. You know, glorify me. You glorified me that I might glorify you. And it says in the glory. Now, that word has an interesting translation. It's kind of like anointing, power, authority, kind of like dominion. And when you go through that word, Jesus was saying that you gave to me, I am now transferring to the people that are with us. And he said, not to everyone in the world. He said, but to those who are with us, meaning the believers that are believing with the same belief system, power, and authority that Jesus was operating under. So he granted that to them. And then he goes on to say words like, you know, here's what I've done. Now greater works shall you do because I go to my Father. Well, how can you do that without the authority or the power or the dominion or the same anointing? God had to put that anointing in Jesus, scripturally speaking, how God anointed Jesus with the authority, with the power, who went about doing good, healing all of those who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. If Jesus had to be anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit, how much more do we as believers need that? And then if Jesus is going to heaven and not take us all, you know, beam me up, Scotty, if he's not going to take us all with him the moment he left this earth, what is he going to leave us to use? I mean, if Jesus needed authority, dominion, power, anointing, for God was with him, how much more do we as human beings? I mean, Jesus was on this earth as a human being. He was part God, part human. But he had to have that power and authority, that dominion. Okay, so if Jesus had to do it and use the dominion, how much more do we? Jesus was talking about what God's kingdom is all throughout. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Jesus was talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is at hand. What is it? Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God in his authority, his way of doing and being in the kingdom, his righteousness, his right way of operation. And then all the things you have need of will be added unto you. Psalm 145:13 says, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and your dominion endures through all. Okay. It's through all generations. That comes down to us. See, God had to put an authority in Jesus. Jesus comes to earth to bring heaven to earth. He didn't need that authority back in heaven. He left it here for us to have the power and dominion to do what we're called to do. But if we don't recognize it, how can you utilize it? My kids wanted Sloppy Joes. Now, I don't know if y'all know what Sloppy Joes are. In one of the kids' movies we watched is when my kids were real little, they called it an ooey gooey messy burger. You know, I think that fits it delightfully. Well, here's the deal. I'm not one to eat a lot of red meat. So I had to go hunt for a recipe because they wanted Sloppy Joes like when they were kids. So it did take me some searching. But here's the thing. If I had searched and found, let's just say spaghetti or spaghetti and meatballs, or say I searched, oh, my favorite, grilled cheese with tomato and onions. Does it get any better than that? But that isn't the same thing as a Sloppy Joe. Sometimes we're letting the world tell us what the Bible says when perhaps the world doesn't even seek out or search out what the Bible says. Or get this, they interpret the rule of law as what man's opinion, which may or may not be consistent with God's opinion, and we don't go back to the Bible to search out what God's opinion is. I say it's a lot like going to Goliath for advice on David's ministry. Goliath sees it from a different perspective. And what I want you to do is take a look at what God said. So in Numbers 11, this one's pretty interesting. Go, if you've got your Bible, if you've got a pencil and paper, if you want to write it down somewhere, go to Numbers 11. And I find this one to be extremely interesting. Numbers 11, 21 through 23. Now, if I giggle during this, I hope you giggle with me because I think this was hilarious. Moses said, here am I among 600,000 men on foot, and you say, I will give them meat to eat for a whole month. Now, Moses is saying he has an army, basically, a group of men on foot, about 600,000. And God was trying to show him, I'll tell you what, I can not only win battles, I can provide for you along the way. And the Lord answered Moses, is the Lord's arm too short? Now you will see whether or not what I say will come true for you. So in my mind, I'm having this thought that, what was Moses thinking, for heaven's sake? God says, I'm not only going to take care of you, I'm going to help you win the battles. I'll prove it to you by your 600,000 men. We'll have enough meat to eat. Listen to this part, where one translation says, sorry, I had to giggle. They'll have so much it'll even be like coming out their nose. Okay, that's kind of like gross and disgusting. But truth be told, he was saying it will be so abundant that, oh, wow, does that sound like Malachi? You won't even have room enough to contain it all. Malachi 3 through the prophet Malachi. So Moses starts mouthing off. He said, what would they have enough in the flocks and the herds to slaughter them? Would they have enough if all the fish in the sea were caught for them? Oh my goodness, God is saying, I'm going to take care of you. Have you ever had a child that just was what I would call like sassy? Moses is sassing God. Are you being sassy to God when he's saying, I'm not only going to show you, I'm going to show you such abundance. I'm going to provide. He's going to provide for him. Not I'm going to make you starve in the wilderness. He said, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you win the battles. You've got 600,000 men. I'm going to provide for you. And Moses starts questioning God with what seems to be like snarky, sassy remarks. And then it comes on to say, then it happened, and God stirred up a wind that caused quail to come in the wind, and it was so abundant, it took like a day on one side and a day on the other to even basically count it all, gather it all. And it says, the wind went out from the Lord and drove quail in from the sea. Go figure that one. It scattered among them, up to 2 cubits deep and around the camp. I mean, we're talking, it was massive. And then it said, all around the camp as far as a day's walk in any direction. North, south, east, or west, it would take a day to walk through it all. And that night and all the next day, the people went out to gather the quail. My, my, my. When are we going to really see the Bible for its ability to provide? Moses was in a mess. He was in a fix. He was in a pickle. And in the middle of his mess, in the middle of his fix, God says he's going to take care of him. And it sounded so absurd to Moses's, get this, natural mind, natural way of thinking, that he was almost sassy or snarky to God. How do you expect me to do this? When God was saying, Moses, I'm going to provide. Look at the 5 loaves and 2 fish feeding 5,000. How did that happen? Oh, let's add this up. I love math. 5 loaves fed 5,000. It's multiplied by 1,000. Didn't Deuteronomy say I'll make you 1,000 times more? 5 loaves multiplied into 5,000 by my math skills is 1,000 times more. I think that the Bible is filled with provision. But when we get into a pickle, we have a tendency to think, how am I going to figure this out? Well, I'm the one that's first. I'm logical, practical, analytical. So I'm the first one to say, how am I going to figure this out? I like to have a list and I want my checkbox in the list. And when I check the first box, I want to go to the second box. But you know what? Sometimes I have to decrease so Christ in me can increase. I have to do, the Bible says, after having done all to stand, stand therefore. Amplified says it, having done all the crisis demands, stand therefore. I want to do all I'm supposed to do. I want to do my part. But then I have to submit my ways to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and seek first how God himself operates in this, his kingdom on earth. It's not my kingdom. I may have an acre of land or a square little whatever it is, you know, a box house or whatever you want to say, an apartment. I may have an office. I may have a this or a that. In our case, right now I'm recording I actually have this recording that I actually do in a closet because it's nice and quiet and it's not soundproof, but if you looked where I'm sitting, you would see that I've made this closet into kind of soundproof with pillows and blankets. And it's in a nice, quiet, tidy little space. But you know what? That's my space. What is God's space? What is God's abundant supply? Where he said exceedingly, abundantly, far above anything we dare ask or think. Of course, it's got to be according to his word and his will. But my gracious sakes, The Lord turns around and says to Moses, "Is my hand too short?" I don't know what Moses was thinking at that moment, but if I prayed to God and God promised me provision, and then God made so much provision that it literally took a day to walk through it all in any direction, and then I started being snarky about, well, just how am I supposed to do it when God said it was about him? And then he turned to me and said, "Do you actually believe that my hand is too short, that I am not capable of provision?" My brain starts going to, God created the heavens and the earth. On the first day he created this. On the second day he created this. He's got the heavens, the earth, the mountains. He put all the provision in the earth. He said he put all the gold and silver in the earth. And I'm the one that's going to ask God about provision and like sass him? Are you kidding me? But realistically, do we do that? Do we get so worried? See, I can get into worry. I can get into fear. I can get into something like, "Oh Lord, what am I going to do?" But really it's, "Oh Lord, thank you for what you've already done to provide for me." When I think about what the Lord has done, you know that song, "Look What the Lord Has Done"? When I think about what the Lord has done, he created the heavens and earth. He created the birds, the fish, the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea. He created the mountains. He created herbs for the service of man, the Bible says. He created every living thing. Why would I really think that I have more answers than God? And I have to look at what Moses said in here. I'm giggling again. "I would not have wanted to be a mouse in the corner. But on the other hand, I really would have been, because I would love to hear what happened to Moses when all of this provision came flying in the air from an unknown wind with provision from the sea that brought quail in as far as the eye can see, so to speak. I just would have liked to look at Moses and say, did God say, 'I told you so'?" I mean, God's not like that, but it would have been kind of funny. But how many times do we not take our rightful dominion because of worry, fear, the circumstances, situation, my own thoughts, my own beliefs, my own concern? Yes, I want to do the right thing. Yes, I don't want to get into presumption. Faith and presumption are really two different things. But I don't want to be so not in presumption that I don't operate in faith and trust God to supply my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, not according to how many fish Moses could have caught or how many whatever he could have done. It's about what has God done. And do we really believe that he's given us dominion? He wants us to be part of that prosperity camp, that healing camp, that dominion camp, so much so that the devil's crowd is not walking away with your goods. That's something to think about. I get a funny little giggle about this because I can just see the boat, my father-in-law and my mother-in-law sitting in it. My father-in-law, Oral Roberts, my mother-in-law, Evelyn Roberts, loved to fish. It was something they passed on to their son, Richard, and it was definitely something I came into this family with. And all of my children, I have pictures of my children fishing from the time they could barely hold the fishing pole. I have fishing poles all the way back to little plastic Barbie fishing poles. My kids like to fish. And one day, Oral and Evelyn got an opportunity to go out in a boat with a friend of theirs and go fishing early in the morning before Oral was going to preach. Well, all of a sudden, Evelyn realized nobody was catching anything. And I don't know the precise moment she said this, but all of a sudden, here she is pulling in one fish after another, and Oral, this is the story they tell me, Oral turned to her and said, "Evelyn, how is it that you're catching so many fish?" Now, I want to set the stage on this. Those two could be so competitive in the funniest ways because they were determined that each one of them was going to outfish the other. And all of a sudden, you could see Oral was losing. And he was losing by a long shot. And he looked at her and he said, "What have you done? Why are the fish hitting your line and not doing anything for me?" And you know what she said? She said, "Oral, I took dominion over the fish." And everybody was laughing. But truth be told, she definitely won the fishing contest that day. because I don't know what she did, what she said, how she said it, in what faith she did it. Truth be told, she took dominion over the fish. The fish were hitting the line so fast she couldn't pull them all in. My, my, my. Doesn't that sound like Peter and the fishing boat with Jesus? I'm not telling you to do it as a contest to throw fish in your boat, but I am saying this. How many times did God provide for us that we missed out on because we didn't recognize what our dominion and authority was really available to us because of what? In my particular case, perhaps I was shadowed by fear, worry, torment, an overwhelming situation, something that just seemed insurmountable. When you know what? God's hand has not been shortened for all of mankind. He is who he says he is. I'm the Lord, I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe his provision is still there for us today. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray for you. I pray for you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, for God to be your God, for him to be your healer, your deliverer, your provider, your soon coming king, for Jesus to be your Lord, for everything, everything that God has said for you, for your good. For I know the plans I have for you, they're for your good and not for harm. They're for you to succeed and for you to prosper. I pray that for you right now, for your successful journey on the road of life in every area, as you recognize and then take hold by faith of God's dominion for your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, 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 and amen. I really appreciate you being with us today. Thanks for doing that. If you would like information about my brand new book, it's called Discover Your True Strength. All you have to do is go to discoveryourtruestrength.com. Our Facebook page, Lindsay Roberts Official. You can go to Instagram, podcast, Entirely Unconventional, obviously, because you found it here. You can find our ministry website. I do a program called Make Your Day Count, so you can just go to makeyourdaycount.com. But my number one prayer is that you recognize something that I believe. I say it all the time because I believe it. I believe you're worth more than you think. So let's turn to God and expect a miracle. Bye-bye for now. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Entirely Unconventional. If it impacted you, please consider leaving a review and giving it a 5-star rating. To order Lindsay's new book, Discover Your True Strength, visit discoveryourtruestrength.com. To connect with Lindsay on social media, you can find her at Lindsay Roberts Official. See you next week.